Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the Occasional Male Podcast, He Stutters, She Asks Him, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com and is also freely available on iTunes. So today I want to welcome, like I said, an occasional male guest, and it's been 2 years since I've actually interviewed a guy, so he gets to break the drought, so to speak. So I want to just say hello to Chaz. Is that, am I pronouncing it right?
Yes, that's perfect. Chaz.
Chaz. So how are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm having a relaxing weekend. It's a 3-day weekend here in the States.
Lucky. So it's not here. It's not here in Scotland. It's only 2 days as always.
So it's a delight to have you on the show with us today. So to get us started, could you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy.
Sure. Well, my name is Chaz. I'm from Glasgow, Scotland. I am 24 years old at the time of this recording. I am a dancer. I work with young kids. I help them with their self-esteem and their confidence. And when I was about 3 years old, or no, sorry, about 5 years old, it was the first time that I knew I had a stutter. I would say at that time it was more severe than it is right now. I think from when I was about 5 up till about, I don't know, like about 21, 22, I had some major problems with my speaking, especially through, you know, school. It was always the worst for me just because I had no self-esteem or confidence because of my speech at that time. And then I got involved in dance, actually, for, I think it was about 15 at the time, so 9 years ago. And since then, I gained a lot of confidence, gained a lot of self-esteem. My social skills were so much better. And through dance, I've been able to travel across Europe and America. I've been able to meet and socialize with different people that I didn't think I could. And I feel that dance has been a major contributor to helping me overcome my stutter.
Wow. That's interesting. I'm sure we'll have a great conversation about this. Now, you said that you work with kids. Do you work with kids with dance?
Yes, I do. It's the main way for me to communicate with kids. And when I mean communicate with them, a lot of the things that I talk about with kids is mainly about empowerment, about, you know, being able to do whatever you want to do, you know, gaining confidence, social skills and all that. And I think dance, particularly breakdancing, that's what I do. That's how I'm able to communicate with kids. Yeah. So I am a breakdancer, also known as a b-boy. Okay. And that's how I communicate with kids.
All right. And how do you find the kids that want to get involved?
Well, they don't know they want to get involved at first. And that's the really funny thing about the work that I'm involved with. You see, it's quite a new thing to a lot of the kids that I reach out to. And a lot of the kids that I work with are disadvantaged and have problems in school and problems in their family life as well. So this is it's a positive outlet for them.
How do you find them?
They always have a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of energy, but some of the time they doubt their own abilities. And I think that's predicated on the things that they hear from teachers in school. You can't do this, you're failing this, and hearing things from their parents and other family members as well. So when they come into my environment and I'm telling them you're actually doing really good at this move and that move, and you know, it puts a smile on their face and makes them feel better about themselves.
Wow. Now, do any of them stutter or stammer, as you guys call it over there?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, All right. So you just do this to be able to help everyday kids that have some type of a disadvantage to develop self-confidence then.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that this dance has attributed to my self-confidence and self-esteem as a person. And, it feels amazing the work that I'm doing. And if I want to keep feeling this way, then I love to teach. I love to stay involved within, the local dance community and even the wider community as well. So anything I can do to stay involved is always going to make me feel good. And I think for the kids especially, I work with a wide range of kids, most of which are from disadvantaged backgrounds, but I work with kids from well-off backgrounds as well. I feel everybody should have the opportunity to learn.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about your journey with stuttering and how dance has helped you overcome, because it seems like you have. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's a long journey. It's been a lengthy process, trying out different methods and seeing what works. One of my biggest issues as a kid was just trying to talk to people that I didn't know, whether that was like ordering in restaurants or trying to talk to a girl that I liked that I hadn't met before, like just the usual problems that people that stutter have. I think, the level of comfort that I had back then, there wasn't much comfort for me when I spoke. A lot of my friends in school were very understanding about it though, and so were the teachers, and I'm really thankful for that. But obviously the feeling that I got when I spoke, I just felt terrible, and I have some vivid memories of different experiences in primary school, what you call elementary school, and secondary school as well. And I'm kind of over those experiences, but at the time I remember they just didn't sit well with me. Lowered my confidence and my self-esteem. I think that I just didn't have a lot of belief in myself at that time, and I was always saying to my parents and to my sister as well, that like, I hate having these problems. I don't know what to do about them. And even they were concerned for me as well, because they could see on my face I was sad. I think some of my friends noticed the same thing as well. So then I tried speech therapy. I think I was about 15, 16 at the time. First was a public speech therapist on the National Health Service, and that was okay, but I still had my recurring problems. And then I had a private speech therapist at the age of 16, and I felt more improvement with the private speech therapist than I did with the public one. And some of the things that I do today to help me stay relaxed and to focus on my speaking, I got from the private speech therapist. But at that time, I had no positive outlet. There was no way for me to express myself because I could hardly say how I felt. And it was really difficult for me to say to people, I feel terrible because I stutter and I can hardly say these things. But I got involved in breaking when I was obviously 15. And it was, the transition for me was very natural. Like when I first got involved in breaking or just in dance in general, I saw it just because it was fun. And there wasn't many fun things I was doing in my time at that age. And there was a friend that had introduced me to a class in Glasgow, Scotland, where I've lived all of my life. And I went along and it was just great. I met new people. They judged me just by the quality of my character as opposed to my speech, which was a big refreshing moment for me. And so because I felt amazing, I just stuck with it. And I got to travel a little bit up and down the UK at first, meeting with different dancers, and across the whole board, it's a very positive culture. And that really helped me because I found a way to express myself without words. And I think for a lot of people, I think that's a big issue. Just being able to communicate what they want to say, or communicate what they're feeling rather, but having no real way of doing it. So I think dance for me was my way to do that. And I can definitely say I've let off a lot of steam over the last 9 years through dance.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's more to it. That's pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah, yeah. So you had speech therapy at 15 and 16.
That's correct.
And what did the therapy focus on? Like, were you working on fluency shaping or stuttering modification? What did you actually work on that seemed to help your speech?
So during my time with the public speech therapist, a lot of the work was just on where your problem areas are, identifying them, understanding the different ways that words come out of your mouth. And there was just a little bit about, you know, block modification and slow rated speech, but it only went into a little bit of depth. And, you know, there just wasn't enough. I wasn't there for long enough to really experience all the benefits of that. I think it was because of timing in my personal life as well. I think I had like other family commitments. So that was when I went to the private speech therapist. And when I went to the private speech therapist, I got an assessment, you know, how many times do I avoid saying certain words, you know, where am I most confident? And to be fair, you know, I scored pretty badly at that time. Like, you wouldn't have wanted to hear me talk at that age. I'll just tell you that right now. So with the private speech therapist, a lot of the focus was on slow rated speech because I just needed to relax. And it's been another big contributing factor, I feel, to my speaking. You know, it's gained control. I was able to gain more control through slow rated speech. Sorry. There were some other things that I touched on as well, but that was the biggest thing that I took from it, the slow rated speech. And so if that pretty much sums up the answer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Great. So if young people are listening to this podcast, or even, people in their 20s or 30s who get the message that they can smooth out their speech and overcome their stuttering through slower rate of speech and dance. Do you think that that's a hopeful message to send to people?
I believe so. One thing I can definitely tell you is that since my involvement within the dance community, I have met some incredible people in my life. And a lot of these incredible people are those that worked incredibly hard at their craft. You know, not only are they dancers, they're DJs, they're rappers, you know, they're doing completely different things and they're the best at what they do. And when you hang around them for long enough, when you speak to them for long enough, you really do see the hard work that goes into what they do. And since I had these problems, you know, I feel I'm quite a spiritual person. I could be more of a spiritual person. I get it from my mother mainly, because she was a Reiki practitioner and a yoga teacher for a long while. And she would pass on these different resources to me, you know, like, you know, different DVDs, different documents that she would see online, and one of which is the Law of Attraction. Have you heard of that before, the Law of Attraction?
I have, and I actually read a book called The Secret, which seems to go along with that concept. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a very popular book, and it's based on the Law of Attraction, which is everything that appears in your life is because of the thoughts and the feelings that you have. And, you know, Dr. Joseph Murphy also talks about this in The Power of the Subconscious Mind. There was a book in the 1950s, I believe, and also Napoleon Hill in the 1930s in Think and Grow Rich. And basically, through my time learning about these different concepts, I fully do believe that we have more control over our lives than we're led to believe. And it takes, you know, a great amount of research into the mind, especially the subconscious mind, and into, you know, different ways to relax, to really feel the benefits of it. And so to tie this in with the slow rate of speech question and also with dance as well, you know, those that are the best in the world at what they do, they stuck with it and had a burning desire to reach the position that they're at just now. And I think for those that are hopefully listening to this and getting inspired by this, you know, it takes a great deal of control. It takes a great deal of work, a lot of hard work to be able to improve yourself as a person and to improve your speech as well. So I think that's the biggest thing that I can share, just that, you know, it takes a great deal of effort, takes a great deal of control over time with persistence. And if you put the thought in your head that your speech is fluent, then it will be. And that's just my personal opinion on it.
I think a lot of speech language therapists would disagree with that. because it's, they would probably say it's not evidence-based.
True. I understand where you're coming from as well, because when I was younger and trying to learn for myself what I could do to overcome my stutter, there were very few resources that gave me concrete answers. You know, a lot of the things that I saw, and you know, maybe you've seen this as well, a lot of the resources that I saw online as a teenager just told me how to live a quality life with my stutter and how to accept it and how to live with it. But what I wanted to do was like completely eradicate it. I just wanted to be able to speak freely, you know, engage in different social conversations without feeling a burden that I have a stutter. So obviously the things that I'm saying to you are some of the things that I've practiced over the last few years to really see tremendous results. And, you know, we've been speaking for a while now, and I don't think I've stuttered once. And it's because I've had the thought in my head that fluency is a goal that I want to reach. And through these different practices that I've shared, you know, with slow rate of speech, the law of attraction, finding different ways to relax, like with different breathing exercises or meditation, and just maintaining a healthy diet through dance and everything like that, I've been able to achieve this point where I'm at just now.
Have you ever heard of neuro-linguistic programming, NLP?
I believe I have, yeah. I don't know too much about it, but I know some things about it.
Yeah, it almost sounds similar to what you've experienced and what you're sharing. I don't know a great deal about it either, except that it has to do with changing your thought processes.
True.
And believing that your brain can be rewired, and that if you work on focusing on more fluent speech, that you can attain that. So it does sound a little bit similar to that. And I've read and heard from people in the stuttering community that they believe in the power of neuro-linguistic programming, and that it does indeed help them to attain more fluent speech. So that'd be interesting to see if there was a connection between what you're talking about and NLP.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm happy to hear that people have felt benefits from putting more thought into the mind. Because when I was younger, I thought it was only a physical thing. I thought that because I stuttered and speaking is a physical thing, that it was a physical problem. And then obviously when I read into the law of attraction and all these other things, you know, that's when I began to realize that everything is a product of the mind. Like everything that we do, every physical action that we have, everything that we say, like we're in control of all of that. And it may sound unrealistic to say that to somebody who's hearing this for the first time, but the more that you research into the subconscious mind, and, you know, if they do read The Secret and also see the movie as well, they're going to learn more about that. And I vouch for it so much because it's done so many amazing things for me that I'm a completely different person because of it. And that's why we're here right now.
Yes. Yeah. And I agree with you. I don't think that you've stuttered once during our conversation here. So do you consider that successful speech when you don't stutter at all?
Yeah, it's the short answer. There are some times where if I'm feeling very unwell, or, you know, like ages ago, if I had a hangover, that my fluency would be less. I would be less fluent. However, I kind of see it, I try and see it in terms of consistency. And I try and see it in terms of like smaller goals. Sometimes I even backtrack and I think, okay, I wasn't able to say cappuccino a month ago, but now I can say it. So that's a good thing. I was able to make this phone call to my doctor, which I wasn't really able to do like years ago. Actually, here's a funny story. So I think I was about 20 at the time and I was in the city and I had to make a phone call to my doctor to schedule just a routine appointment. And I could say everything except for my name. And I got extremely frustrated. Like, I was just thinking, like, are you allowed to swear on here or not?
Sure.
Okay, because I was just thinking, what the fuck? How come I can't say my name? How come I can say everything else but not my name? And then I got a call from my mum, like, just coincidentally, after I got off the phone to the doctor, I got a call from my mum. And I said, Mum, I'm pissed off. And she, you know, she empathized with me and she asked me, what's wrong? I'm sorry to hear that you're sad. And I said, well, I had to call my doctor. I needed to make an appointment. And I was able to say everything except for my name. And at that time, I really did feel like a victim. I really did feel victimized. I thought in my head, like, why me? Why do I have this stutter? And so I was saying to my mum, how come I can say everything except for my own fucking name? And, you know, she was just trying to calm me down and just say, look, that's one experience. You know, there's always a chance to improve for the next one. But when you're so wrapped up in your head about, you know, messing up certain things on your speech, it's just what occupies your mind the whole time. And you, like, I feel a lot of things. I'm very empathetic and I pretty much feel my way through life. I only do the things that I think will make me feel amazing. So, like, when I'm feeling down, I'm very much feeling down. And especially because I stuttered, you know, a lot many years ago, you know, you can just imagine how I felt inside every time I tried to talk to somebody. But that was just like one experience that I wanted to share because I know that a lot of people in the stuttering community want to hear different experiences that other people have. It's one observation that I've made. Instead of people just trying to tell you or force ideas down your throat, which, you know, to be completely honest, I have done in the past, people just want to know that, okay, you've experienced the same thing that I have. Now, what can we do to overcome that hurdle? And, you know, that's kind of why I wanted to reach out to you. And I'm very appreciative of, you know, this conversation and this opportunity, because I think my experiences can hopefully help other people.
You know, it's funny that you shared that story about being unable to say your name, because many people who stutter, that is one of their primary difficulties, is being able to say their own name. And that's quite embarrassing, and for some it's very humiliating, and like you said, it's very sad, and you get very frustrated. So people certainly are going to be able to relate to that.
And I hope they do, because I know it's something, as you said, a lot of people experience. But one of my major problems that day was just a lack of control and a lack of awareness. Like, through not necessarily my spiritual journey, but through like all this research that I've been telling you about, one of the key things that people talk about is like a heightened sense of awareness. Heightened sense of awareness about yourself, about the environment that you're in. And it's a great way to give yourself a lot of control. And I think for those that stutter, if they are more aware of their speaking and more aware of their breathing and aware of the thoughts that they have that pertains to their speaking, it's easier to make positive change. You know, there's a guy called Brad Blanton, I believe that's his name. He wrote a book called Radical Honesty. Mm-hmm. And I only read part of this book, but it pretty much said that you have to be completely honest with yourself at every given point, because the only way that you're going to see any progress in anything is if you're completely honest. And it's been another contributing factor to the improvement in my speech and to the improvement in my mental welfare. Sorry, in my mental welfare as well. That was a little hard to say. So, you know, if we're completely honest with ourselves about our speech and recognize that, you know, we have certain problems here and there, it makes it easier for us to tackle our problems.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you still consider yourself a person who stutters?
At times I do, to be completely honest, because I still have some negative mental conditioning with regards to my speech. And I think it's sometimes the perception that I have about my speech. Sometimes when I make phone calls, I'm a little more anxious just because I've been conditioned that way because of all the past experiences I've had with regards to phone calls. You know, being unable to put a coherent sentence together on the phone, I'm still reminded of the feeling of that. Not necessarily the experiences, but the feeling of that. Mm-hmm. So it's still a major hurdle, you know, in every aspect of my life to reframe the situation, to see progress, to be relaxed. But, you know, like I said earlier, it takes a lot of hard work, and that hard work will get rewarded if you're consistent and persistent with it.
Mm-hmm. And do you participate at all in the stuttering community?
Very rarely. There is a stuttering community here in Scotland. I believe they're primarily based in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. I believe they're based in Edinburgh. And one time I went along to a meeting, I got to meet other people who stutter, and hearing about different events that go on, different workshops that they organize. But just because of timing, I've been unable to invest my time within the stuttering community. However, any opportunity I can get, you know, it's good to get integrated with that community.
Yeah. The reason that I asked is that I do know that there is a Scottish Stammering Association, and I believe they are based out of Edinburgh, and they're part of the British Stammering Association, who this weekend, in fact, is having their conference up in Manchester. So there's a bunch of the people from the stuttering community are conferencing this weekend. And I was just curious if you know what if any involvement you had, and whether or not you participate in any of like the online forums, any social media groups about stuttering?
I have a bigger online presence than I do offline. You know, I've recently joined the Reddit community for stuttering, and I'm also a part of a social anxiety forum as well. And occasionally I'll go on to see, you know, what the hot topics are, so to say. And funnily enough, if it's okay to touch upon this, when I first joined the social anxiety forum, I think it was the beginning of this year, 2016, I saw similar issues that I had, but in a social anxiety context. And a lot of the time it was about approaching people, presentations, dating, relationships, all sorts of other things. And so it's helped me to make the connection that some of the ways that we can approach our stuttering can be the same way that we approach a social anxiety. Because some people's speech transforms. And I really do feel that some people may not stutter anymore, but will have developed social anxieties as a result of it. And so that will persist in their life. So it really is an ongoing battle to try and, you know, combat these anxieties, to make sure that we're relaxed when we're speaking, and, you know, seeing on this forum, you know, that these other people are going through similar situations as I had done, you know, it's quite refreshing to see that. And so that's how I came to that conclusion. But to answer your question, yeah, I have a bigger online presence in the online stuttering community than I do offline.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. I definitely agree with you that there's a correlation between stuttering and social anxiety. Many of the people that that I see that participate in some of the Facebook groups in the stuttering community often talk about the same things that you just mentioned. Fear of introducing themselves to strangers, fear of public speaking, if they're still in college, fear of having to speak up in class or make presentations. And I think a lot of that has to do with, as people who stutter, we haven't sometimes developed the social skills necessary because we are classic avoiders. We have not developed the social skills necessary to feel confident in many of those speaking situations. So that's a great connection.
Yeah, for
sure. Yeah. And I'm sure that dance also helps with the social anxiety as well as it did for the stuttering, right?
Definitely. I mean, I am just one person within the dance community that has overcome a personal problem. But I know many people that used to be gangsters, that used to have drug addictions and, you know, had some very crippling problems in their life. You know, whether it's like family problems or just social problems, work problems, you know, just like what other people feel. And they've had dance as an outlet. And so they're 100% committed and invested into the community because that's literally their escape. And had they not been involved, they could either be in jail or homeless or you know, just living a life that they wish they wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I know it's a bit extreme to say that, but I think people need to hear the examples of where you could be if you don't take full control and take ownership over every aspect of your life and see that you could be going down this path or down this path, you know?
Yeah. I definitely agree. I definitely agree. There's many parallels in the very different paths that we take in our lives. And that if we can make those connections, it makes a difference.
Yeah, and I'm happy you agree with that.
So kind of in wind down mode, what advice would you give to somebody that was 15 or 16 struggling with stuttering, wanting to find quote unquote a way out? What advice would you give based on your experience 9 years later?
Okay. So this could be quite a lengthy answer, just to let you know, because I'm just trying to think about everything that I can share. Obviously, I've said to be completely honest with yourself about your stutter, and I still feel that's the first thing you should do, to acknowledge your problem areas. You know, it's not like entrepreneurship where, you know, you bet on your strengths instead of trying to uplift all of your weak areas. But I would say the first thing is to be completely honest with yourself. You know, your speech causes you problems. It causes you difficulty in social situations. And if it makes you feel terrible, then it is a problem that you need to overcome. And one of the best ways to do that is to gain control. And some of the ways that you can gain control is just by raising your level of awareness. And when I talk about your level of awareness, I believe taking a spiritual path is one of the best ways to do that. So you can look up different things online about the law of attraction or the law of abundance, you know, read different books about, you know, the subconscious mind. As I said earlier, Dr. Joseph Murphy, The Power of the Subconscious Mind. It's a mind blowing book that will definitely give you food for thought. I would say as well, one of the best things to do is to find different ways to relax. So that could be through meditation, which I highly vouch for, or yoga, or different breathing exercises that help you slow down your heart rate, give you better chances to breathe, you know, loosen up the tension in your shoulders and your neck and in your voice as well. I think if you really invest 100% into improving yourself as a person, you know, your quality of life, using some of the different things that I've just mentioned, your speech will improve as an indirect result of that. Or at least what will happen at first is your experiences and social situations will get better. And usually that's all the confidence boost that you need. You know, this feeling that there's progress happening. And to be completely honest, a lot of the time we're looking for a quick fix. Whenever we see a problem or whenever we see a way to, you know, like a way out, like you say, we always want to get rid of the problem as fast as we can. But if you're looking at the long term, and if you really want to speak freely, you know, this is a lifelong thing and you have to embody this new approach, you know, of gaining control, increasing your sense of awareness, trying to stay relaxed all of the time. And it is a challenge. But, you know, being here just now and, you know, being extremely fluent, I think this is all the evidence anybody needs. This stuff that I'm saying works. Or it's definitely worked for me, and I'm sure it can work wonders for other people as well. So if you're 15, 16, another thing that I will add as well is things do get better. You know, people may be teasing you, people may be insulting you, and I've definitely been on the end of that. You know, some pretty horrible shit that people have said about me and my speech, but it all gets better. And if people notice you're more confident about yourself, people will naturally gravitate towards you as well. So things do get better.
Thank you very much for sharing that. I think young people particularly need to hear that. Things do get better as we get older, as we mature, as we learn how to adapt and react to situations. And that was great advice and a great way to wrap up here. So I want to say thank you so much for being a guest today. It was great. And it was a real pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
And this has been He Stutters, She Asks Him.